afternoon. I'll call this meeting, regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. It's 1:33 p.m. on Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. Commissioner Brian Krashus, Commissioner Julie Fedorchak are here with me, so we have a quorum. And I guess only a real brief opening comment that I have is last Tuesday, got to speak at the Great Plains and Empower ND gathering over at BSC, and they had a very nice crowd over there and a lot of good discussions and conversations covered, and I think it was a good meeting. So that was enjoyable, and I think it went well. That's all I have for opening comments. Commissioner Krashus?
I don't have any opening comments, other than good afternoon.
Okay. Well, thank you. The reason why we rescheduled this meeting to the afternoon was to accommodate an activity that I had this morning, so I appreciate my colleagues doing that. I was helping to co-chair the Bismarck-Mandan Chamber's Energy Day, and so they have a group of 20 or so young professionals, maybe not all that young, but working for this year through their leadership program, where they spend a day a month on a various sector of the Bismarck-Mandan community learning about it. And today was Energy Day. And so we took them out to the Heskett plant and did a tour of the power plant. And then we took them to Tesoro and did a tour of Tesoro, Endeavor Refinery. And we had them at a meeting at the beginning to set the stage with a representative from Petroleum Council, Lignite Energy Council, and Utilities, MDU, sort of highlighting the various sectors of the energy industry in North Dakota. And it was very re-inspiring, I should say, to, again, think and contemplate all the vast energy resources we have, to expose some of these people who have this stuff right under their fingertips but have never really looked at it, to the richness of our resources, which are really world-class. I mean, it's just an incredible amount of energy potential we have in our state, and it's was really fun to expose them to that, talk about it, talk about the challenges, hear from the industry folks, and really spend all morning with these various sectors and these folks who are learning about it. So it's a really great program that the Chamber does, and I was pleased to be able to be a part of it, and thanks for allowing me to reschedule that, because they set their meetings long before we set ours even. So they're very organized, and I couldn't have changed the date of the meeting, so I appreciated you guys altering the schedule of this one so I could go.
Well, I actually had thought that you probably needed the morning off to recover from PTCs, and I don't mean production tax credits.
Parent-teacher conferences? Yes, this is a whole different issue, why I was dragging a little bit this morning. I haven't had a chance to recover from those yet.
Okay, so we'll move on, and on our consent calendar, we have 15 items on consent plus previous minutes, and I would move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Say, we'll just highlight one item, if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, on the consent agenda, and that's number 10 under JF 10. This was a notice that we are acknowledging that needed to be corrected. There was a typo in the original notice. It was identified before it was printed, and so the correct notice is going to be running. And in the time needed to do the correct notice, et cetera. And so this motion just acknowledges that notice was corrected, and puts it on the record that way. And then this will be redistributed to all of the required folks on the list with a letter explaining what happened. So everything should be in order to meet all the legal requirements of the notice, but I did just want to highlight that. And that was for the Foxtail Wind Farm hearing, which is scheduled for November 30th. It's supposed to be the 20th, and we said the 30th, originally, so it's November 20th in Ellendale, correct? Yes.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. I have just one item on in my portfolio. I move the commission accept the Federal Office of Surface Mining's 2017 evaluation reports for the coal regulatory and abandoned mine lands programs.
Second.
While I only have this one item, it's one that I am excited about, and I, till a few weeks ago, was still excited about last year's equally glowing report. And so this is just one that I think we all should feel really good about. OSM, the Office of Surface Mining, evaluation reports for the evaluation year that ended June 30th of 2017 is again very positive. I'm going to read several excerpts from each of these reports because they're separate reports for reclamation and abandoned mine lands. From the reclamation program, and these are quotes again, North Dakota's regulatory program is handled in a by a relatively small number of staff considering the amount of land mined and reclaimed each year. Another quote, the North Dakota PSC has a very good working relationship with their customers that includes industry, landowners, citizen groups, and other governmental agencies, including OSMRE, the Office of Surface Mining and Reclamation. And a third quote from Reclamation, based on the topics evaluated this year, North Dakota has an effective program with no issues that need corrective action. And then jump into a few comments on abandoned mine lands, or a few quotes, I mean, on abandoned mine lands. The state administers an excellent abandoned mine land reclamation program in full compliance with their approved AMLR plan. Another one, the North Dakota PSC continues to administer an efficient and successful AML program as set forth in SMACRA, that's the Surface Mining Control Reclamation Act of 1977. They then go on to point out that over the years since the AML program was started, there's been about $52 million spent on various projects, and they quote, these projects have reduced the likelihood of death or injury to property owners and the public. And the last quote that I'll use from the AML program that they had is that the North Dakota PSC maintains a very cost-effective program.
Excuse me.
I want to emphasize these reports are probably 20 to 30 pages each, so it's not like a little one-paragraph thing and they just don't find anything on anybody. I don't know if I could say all states, but most states that I'm aware of have some corrective actions in their reports, and so this isn't just a common thing that states have no corrective action, I wouldn't say. And the bottom line here is that there's no issues or concerns were raised in either of the reports, and OSM continues to report that we have an effective and efficient coal regulatory and AML programs.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Add some congrats to Dean and his staff for the outstanding work. I particularly appreciated the pieces that talked about the good partnerships that the division has with all the stakeholders, including industry, the landowners, and all the folks who are involved in impacted by the coal mining and the reclamation that ensues afterwards. And really, that's what this is all about, is trying to find that balance of being able to develop the resource while also satisfying the folks that are living in and around it and returning the land back to its useful purpose afterwards. And so I don't think that a better model could be found of the states implementing federal regulations and doing a really superb job of it, even to higher standards than the Fed set. And this is you shouldn't have to look any further than this program to show what a great model and a philosophy that is, and that we should be trying to emulate this whenever possible on every federal program, turn it over to the states to implement. But you guys do a fabulous job, and thanks for all that hard work. And I'm really honored to have that report and be part of it.
Well, I'd be remiss to also not say kudos to the staff. And I've toured four of the seven active mines, and I believe they're the four largest. And the thing that struck me when I was out once with Dean and then once on another solo trip, if you will, is just the fact that there's a high level of respect, you know, from the industry standpoint, and they understand the rules and regulations and that they will be enforced. So they're doing a terrific job, staff is, in making sure that that's clearly communicated. And to follow up on Julie's comments, I think it is a wonderful partnership, if you will, between industry and government. And it doesn't have to be adversarial. If the goal is the same on from both parties, good things can be accomplished. So not surprised by the report. I'm still playing. I'm the new guy in all of this. Not surprised by the report from what I've seen so far. So very nicely done.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, so I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Crashes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item for me, believing there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact, I move the Commission consolidate for purposes of hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04, Northern States Power Company, Customer Service Hours, Electric Tariff, Case Number PU-17-356, and Northern States Power Company, Customer Service Hours, Natural Gas Tariff, Case Number PU-17-357. I further move the Commission issue a Notice of Opportunity for Consolidated Hearing in the applications of Northern States Power Company for approval to modify its Customer Service Hours in Case Numbers PU-17-356 and PU-17-357.
Second.
Okay, on September 18th, 2017, NSP filed requests for approval of tariff changes to its electric and natural gas tariffs. The tariff changes reflect NSP's proposal to change the hours customer service representatives will be available to take non-emergency, non-outage customer calls. And currently, NSP has been providing customer service representatives available to the public 24 hours a day for all services. What they're changing to is that the non-emergency calls, the non-outage customer call representatives will be available from 7 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. The change does not affect calls regarding emergencies or outages. Customers can still call 24 hours a day for these issues. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by the Commission by December 6, 2017. And just a couple of quick bullet points on this. I think it's pretty straightforward, but 90% of the calls that NSP representatives have been taking would fall on the hours that they will remain open for non-emergency, non-outage customer calls. So the bulk will be covered within the new service hours. Again, 24/7 emergency and outage service will be available in terms of having a representative on board. And, you know, from a business standpoint, I think this makes sense in terms of just finding ways to reduce costs. As a percentage, it's not significant overall if you're looking at it from a percentage basis. But if the small things don't count, then the big things probably aren't reviewed as closely as they should. So I agree and support this, but but we'll wait and see if if there's any comment from the public on it, and then move forward from there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I just want to interrupt your flow here a minute, but for people who are listening and maybe not in the room, we're not off by one item. BK1, which was case numbers PU-17-268 and 269 regarding MDU and Thunder Spirit, was withdrawn. So that's why.
Correct.
Your first item is BK2. So.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next item. I move the commission suspend the tariff filing and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2018 rates, case number PU-17-364.
Second.
Okay, on September 29th, 2017, Northern States Power Company filed a request for approval of its 2018 renewable energy rider. The purpose of the rider is to recover costs from NSP's North Dakota electric ratepayers for its two North Dakota wind generation projects, the Border Winds Project and the Courtney Wind Project. This proposal would reduce the rate from its current charge of 0.000898 per kilowatt hour to 0.000285 per kilowatt hour. NSP requested that the revised rate be effective January 1st, 2018. And the part that usually generates the most interest, and understandably so, the monthly cost for a residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours would be 0.21 cents per month, which is actually a decrease of 0.46 cents per month. It was 0.67 before this. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by December 6th, 2017. So this, obviously, it's going down, and the two primary reasons for the decrease, one, they did experience more production tax credit recovery due to higher energy generation at these facilities. And then also in April of 2017, the IRS increased the production tax credit from $23 to $24 per megawatt hour. So an increase in terms of the recovery rate on the production tax credit and then more energy produced. And just as a point of reference, the Border Winds facility is a 150 megawatt wind facility that's in Rowlett County in northeastern North Dakota. That was completed and transferred to Northern States Power in 2015. 75 2 megawatt Vestas wind turbine generators on that farm. And then the Courtney wind project is a 200 megawatt wind resource in Stutsman County, North Dakota. And that was also completed in the same time period, if I remember right. So it was in 2015 at any rate, maybe not the exact same month, but those wind projects are generating more power at the end of the day is what it amounts to. So the production tax credit amounts coming in decrease the revenue requirement for 2018.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next on the agenda, I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the filing fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2018 rates, case number PU-17-365.
Second.
On February 26, 2014, the Public Service Commission issued an order approving a transmission cost recovery tariff rider pursuant to North Dakota Century Code Section 49-05-04.3 for Northern States Power Company. On October 2nd, 2017, NSP filed its 2018 transmission cost recovery rider. Tariff requesting approval of cost recovery for specific projects and a resulting TCR rate of 0.003297 per kilowatt hour. The average bill impact for a typical residential customer using 750 kilowatts per month, kilowatt hours per month, is 0.05 or a nickel per month. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by December 6th, 2017. And just to sum up the new transmission upgrade projects, there are five new projects. Black Dog, Wilson is one, Hollydale, District 115 KV line, Lawrence DeFalls capacity enhancement is the third one. The fourth is line ELR-NSPM, and I'll have to find out what those acronyms stand for, more acronyms. And the fifth is NSPM major line refurbishment. So those five projects are coming into play, and as mentioned, the residential customer, a non-space heating customer, or someone not using electricity to heat their home is a nickel a month. If they are using electric space heat consuming 1,000 kilowatt hours per month, their increase would be 8 cents per month. Small commercial consuming 1,500 kilowatt hours would be 12 cents per month, and a large commercial customer consuming 40,000 kilowatt hours would be at $3.08.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and last on my list, I move the Commission adopt the order in Public Service Commission, Northern States Power Company of Minnesota, Pipeline Safety Enforcement, case number GS-17-292.
Second.
Okay, on May 10th and 11th, 2017, Public Service Commissioner, our Commission Gas Pipeline Safety Inspector Aaron Moorman, staff member, was out conducting an inspection of Northern States Power Company of Minnesota gas pipeline construction activities. On July 20th, 2017, the manager of the Public Service Commission Gas Pipeline Safety Program issued a notice of probable violation to NSP. And on August 30th, 2017, NSP submitted a letter in response to the notice of probable violation. During the inspection that occurred on May 10th and 11th, staff essentially observed an individual from a contractor company, Q3 Contracting Incorporated, performing the covered task of backfilling. Staff, as they typically do when they're out in the field, requested documentation from NSP to show current qualifications for this task. And the documentation provided by NSP indicated that the individual's qualifications had expired and he was no longer qualified to perform that covered task. The notice of probable violation proposes a civil penalty of $1,000, and NSP stated in its August 30th, 2017 response that they will not contest the allegation of probable violation and that a check for $1,000 will be sent in a separate letter. The commission orders NSP violated 49 CFR 192.805B by failing to ensure that the individual doing the work was qualified to perform the task of backfilling. And the commission, and number two, the commission accepts NSP's October 12th, 2017 payment of $1,000 in full satisfaction of the civil penalty, and the commission shall close this case. And I'll just add that there are a number of things that our inspectors, when they're out and about, are looking at. One would be for the qualifications of any contractor doing the work. They'll also, in a very proactive fashion, and prudently so, will look at safety records in advance. NSP's safety records, training records, were actually looked at in April. This individual was not on the list for this contractor at the time, so it doesn't cover everything, but in terms of people that they've been using, it covers quite a bit of ground. So it's just important that we have the right people doing the right work in the field, and it's all about pipeline safety and keeping the population safe out there. So it's a program that's very valuable to the state, that we have people out there inspecting, and the inspectors are doing a really good job for us.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, well, that concludes our agenda. I have a handful of announcements here. This Monday at 8:30 a.m., we will have a public convenience and necessity. Is this a hearing or a work session? This is a hearing.
No, this is the case where they're arguing about who's going to supply the power.
But
TIA case.
Is it a hearing, though, or they're coming to testify? It's not really listed as such, but...
Right, it is kind of vague. It should be listed as a hearing.
I've been assuming it's a hearing.
Yeah.
It's case number PU-17-96, Otter Tail Power Company, Minn Kota Ag Products down in Richland County would be the potential customer. And it's a public convenience and necessity
request
hearing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then on Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm not going to repeat these twice, but same for both days, at 5 o'clock, this is October 24th and 25th, at 5 p.m., we will have public input sessions on case number PU-17-295, which is the MD, the Montana Dakota Utilities Company, 2017 natural gas rate increase. And I brought some information to point out about that. We will have rooms where the public can go to watch on video our public input session, and they would include one at Williston State College in Stevens Hall, one at Dickinson State University on the 24th, that would be at Kleinfelter, and on the 25th at Murphy. There will be one at Lake Region State College in Devil's Lake in the admin building. In Minot State University in the admin building. There are different rooms, but both in the admin building. Right here on the 12th floor of the state capitol in our own hearing room, as well as Valley City State University in Rhodes Room. On the 24th, it's room 338, and on the 25th, it's room 101. People can also monitor us on the internet. Go to state.video.nd.gov, and the username would be guest@psc.gov, and the password is simply PSC. And they can also email us questions during the public input session, and the email to send those questions would be vshook, that's vschock, at nd.gov. That is the status of our public input sessions for next Tuesday and Wednesday. Then I also want to point out in advance, just because they're a little different than normal, our next regularly scheduled meeting, which one might think would be on Wednesday, November 1st, is not on Wednesday, November 1st. It is on Friday, November 3rd at 10 o'clock. And so just moving that out 2 days farther. That afternoon, we'll have an informal hearing on case number PU-17-332 involving a transmission line for Northern States Power. And then also, I'm getting pretty far out there, but also our second regular scheduled meeting of November is also a day off of normal. Instead of Wednesday the 15th, it will be Thursday, November 6th at 10 o'clock here. That concludes my announcements.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add one event.
Sure.
For the schedule, I think we should include in there NARUC, which is November 12th through the 15th in Baltimore. I think we typically add those to our schedule just because often more than one of us is attending that.
Okay, and that is the 12th through the 15th?
Correct.
Okay. With that, we will stand in recess for questions from the press, followed by a short break, and then we'll reconvene for our administrative hearing meeting.
Was there any reason that BK1, the Thunder Spirit expansion, was taken off the agenda today?
The reason I wanted it taken off was just to be able to ask questions of the company and get some more background information after I spent more time reviewing it. I thought that would be prudent.
Nothing about the company, they still plan to go forward with this project. Nothing's changed from their end.
No, nothing's changed from them. I just wanted to have an open dialogue.
Are we scheduling an informal for that then, Brian?
Yes. In fact, I thought that might be on the scheduling coming up. I better leave it at that for now since we'll get into it when we do.
Yeah, it is scheduling.
I took your request. I had one and it just slipped my mind. I apologize.
Shoot.
It must be one of those. Must be one of those days. Pardon?
No puns.
No.
Are you looking for
off today?
Any small town trivia that Randy might be able to provide?
we're all off a little bit because we went to the afternoon
session,
but it sounds like it was well worth it for the leadership people. So.
Was good for you. Good event.
There are an incredible number of things taking place right now. It's North Dakota is really on the move, which is exciting to see. It's very refreshing.
Nothing else? Okay, we will reconvene about 5 minutes, about 2:10.